our warmest thanks for the Banque de France. We had a wonderful celebration in your salon yesterday night in the honor of Emmanuel. So it was extremely appreciated. These 2 days, I think, have shown, if need be, how much many people miss him, and also how much his intellectual legacy is very much alive. So on those words, François, I leave you the floor.
Merci, Hélène, and dear friends. Let me have first a quick follow-up to what I heard in the panel. I couldn't agree more with Jean and others on cryptos. Can I draw your attention on the G7 statement last month, 3 weeks ago? We were with Pierre-Olivier and others in Germany for the German G7. And have a look at the G7 communique. I know it's boring, but have a look at paragraph 15. It's one of the strongest commitments I ever saw on crypto regulation, including anti-money laundering, including the ecological aspect. And it's a G7 communique. I don't need to quote any of the G7 countries, but I think it's important. So for me, it's a sign of hope. I come to what or who unites us. Emmanuel. Hélène, you were kind enough to mention this evening in the Banque de France, unfortunately for a family imperative, I couldn't be with you, but I heard from Olivier Garnier that it was not only, hopefully, a nice dinner, but a very impressive time with Emmanuel's mother and many other interventions. While we still mourn the loss of Emmanuel, today we also celebrate his legacy. He left us too soon, in very respect, too soon where we consider Emmanuel Farré's unique contribution to economic research and economic thought. I won't repeat what you have been saying in these last 2 days, but it was important for me to come at the end as a friend. As a friend of Emmanuel, even if, unfortunately, I must confess, I hadn't enough opportunities to meet him before he passed away. But a friend of all of you, if you allow me, a friend of this unique community of economists, which plays such an important role for us as policy makers. You are aware of that, probably. I discovered it as a central banker. I'm not born as a central banker. I became a central banker 7 years ago. The dialogue we have together, although we are all supposed to be self-confident, economists are seen as self-confident, and central bankers, it's much worse for public opinion. But what we do together is that we share questions, doubts, and yes, policy responses in the most useful and efficient way I ever met in my now rather long professional life. So I express for that my gratitude to Emmanuel and to each of you on behalf, it's probably a collective gratitude, on behalf of all monetary policy makers whom I'm supposed to represent probably today. We owe this conference to three organizers, if I'm right, Hélène, Philippe, and Jean, and others, but let me quote the three of you. It shows, having the three of you organizing this commemoration, it shows how Emmanuel's work is unusually wide-ranging. When thinking about economics, Emmanuel Farré had, we know that, many questions, perhaps sometimes too many questions, but fortunately for us, he also had many answers. The common thread of his diverse interests was to help us, policymakers, central bankers, practitioners, better understand the world. The Banque de France and Jean, the Toulouse School of Economics, acknowledge his contribution already in 2013 by granting him, at that time, the joint junior prize in monetary and financial economics. And Emmanuel later visited the Banque de France or organized several conferences with us during the 2010s. His research touched upon many pressing policy issues. Let me highlight only, I will be short, three of them among many others that are especially informative from my perspective of being a central banker. First, why have real interest rates remained so low for such a long time? And this time is still true today if you look at the real interest rates. Together with Pierre-Olivier Gouin-Charles and Ricardo Caballero, Emmanuel stressed that the persistent fall of the equilibrium real interest rate was tightly linked to a worldwide excess demand and insufficient supply of, yes, safe assets, the so-called global safe asset shortage. This analysis led Emmanuel, Pierre-Olivier and Hélène to propose a profound reform of the international monetary system, including the development of alternatives to US treasuries. I take your question about US dominance, but we'll see. An alternative, for instance, issuance of mutually guaranteed European bonds or expanding the IMF's existing financing mechanisms. Allow me a personal illustration. I was lucky enough to welcome in the Banque de France, none of you was there if I remember correctly, a so-called CONSU celebration or emerging market forum around Michel CONSU, organized by the older generation. Some of us are older than others, but we all looked young in this context. Michel CONSU is 89 years old, and they were all his friends. And frankly, it was an interesting lesson of enthusiasm, energy, commitment. But commitment to the SDR, so unilateral commitment. I tried to explain that it was not that easy, but sometimes I had a dream that Emmanuel, Pierre-Olivier, or Hélène, you could be with me and help us to explain the way to proceed. We were missing Emmanuel already in this opportunity. Second theme, the working of a European Monetary Union. Emmanuel Farry explored a wide range of economic frictions relevant for monetary policy, such as the effective lower bound or the lack of price adjustments. But one of his most important contributions with Ivan Werning is a plea for a fiscal union, in which they show that a currency union must be completed with a fiscal union. It's not especially new as theme, but Emmanuel and Yvan pushed the reflections quite far away. Monetary unions can stabilize symmetric shocks. Faced with an asymmetric shock, countries in a monetary union cannot necessarily proceed with price adjustment, and therefore fiscal integration can act, should act, as an insurance to asymmetric shocks. Here I also gave a personal illustration as policymakers. We are all aware of these reflections about stability and growth pact. I see my friend Charles Vermeuler there. My dream is sometimes this one, that we try to find a political solution which is optimal, but which is two-sided. Yes, we need fiscal disciplines in our countries, including this, but we also need a common fiscal capacity in the URA. And I dream of a French-German agreement or South-North agreement which would associate these two sides as the start of a fiscal union. In coordination and crisis in monetary unions, joined with Marc Aguiar, Manuel Amador and Gita, Gita, where? Here you are. You advocated together that without a centralized fiscal authority, currency union countries which lack commitment with respect to the repayment of their sovereign debts tend to overborrow, generating high inflation and lower welfare. This result goes a long way to explain why central banks' commitment to their target is key as well as their independence in order to fulfill their mandate of price stability. Let me add one word about the European Monetary Union. We are all aware in our governing council that in such a context, monetary transmission is as important as monetary stance. And this is a specificity of our collective task. Nobody should have doubt that we have a strong collective will to fight unwarranted fragmentation as we will proceed towards the needed normalization of our monetary policy. So, to go hand in hand, pursuing monetary normalization and fighting unwarranted fragmentation. And frankly, this was the spirit of Amsterdam last week, unanimous governing council. Third and last theme I would like to mention, which is very helpful for us, banking union and financial stability. Along with Jean Tirole, Emmanuel Farry contributed to advances in the architecture of banking supervision and macroprudential regulation. By considering how mutual financial interdependence between banks and sovereigns creates a vicious loop in response to an adverse shock. The creation of a banking union after 2012 aimed at directly addressing this type of issue. Let me be frank also here. We made progress. Obviously, we are not at the end of the road. We made strong progress on common supervision, and the euro-area banking system is without any doubt stronger than 10 years ago. We are not yet there on resolution, perhaps on deposit guarantee schemes, and first and foremost on cross-border mergers and having pan-European banks. But Emmanuel helped us to start the road. Let me conclude with Charles Baudelaire again. I heard you quoted yesterday the Elevation poem, which Emmanuel cherished. Let me mention another of Charles Baudelaire poems, the first poem in Les Fleurs du Mal, L'Albatros. To quote Charles Baudelaire in English is a bit of a challenge, because, but you know that he translated English, but he wrote in French. In this poem, Baudelaire uses the large wings of this magnificent bird, L'Albatros, to symbolize the weight and sometimes the loneliness that exceptional individuals have to bear. Very much like an albatross, Emmanuel was one of these intellectual giants and had to carry the weight of this aile de géant, wings of giants. But Emmanuel was not lonely. He carried and sheltered under his wings an entire generation of young researchers, and some of them are here. You are, collectively, a living tribute to Emmanuel's legacy. Merci beaucoup.
Well, I don't think we could have gotten a better conclusion for the Albatros conclusion and all kind things, but true things that you said about Emmanuel. Just to conclude, of course, I would like to thank the governor for his kindness to come and celebrate with us, Emmanuel. I would like to thank the participants, you, because you have often come from far away. You have celebrated Emmanuel in the right way by paying tribute, and that was just not mourning him, it's also showing how important his work is. So thanks so much. I must say that I found the last 2 days quite moving, the testimonies and also all the work which has been inspired by Emmanuel. I would like to thank, with Hélène and Philippe, would like to thank the hospitality of the Collège de France and the Centre Farry pour l'innovation. The various sponsors, and of course the Bank of France, which played a big role in there. You can find, and your friends who actually could not come today and yesterday will find the recording of the academic proceedings on the CEPR website. So thanks to the CEPR as well. I would like to thank also, that's going to sound surprising, Ellen and Philippe, because they did much of the work. I'm a co-organizer, but they have done a fantastic work, and they have done most of the work, and I would like to thank them. And finally, to conclude, I would like to thank those who actually made this possible also, the highly efficient Emma, and also the young researchers who helped organize it and did a beautiful job. So if they can come and come to us and we can applaud them, a round of applause, that would be wonderful. So yeah.